You just run me through a day.
Okay, a typical day. Okay, during the test, as I said, we worked 12 hours a day, and either worked the dark 12 hours or the light 12 hours.
Sure.
And so it was 7 to 7 or 7 to 7.
Sure.
And get time off to eat, you know, run over the mess hall and that kind of thing. But you would get in, and then whoever you were replacing would have a chart and show what he had sent, if he had anything pending that wasn't done, that he had not sent or typed, this or that. He would also take a carbine or a 45, and you and he would go outside across the street and open a cage and put bags of oil. They had oil skin in them, so they would burn. Put these bags in an incinerator, and you both sign off that you burn the stuff. I don't know what the gun was there for, because everyone on the island had a clearance. And then you lock the cage again, and then the guy of the two of you who was off duty could then go. He could go
okay.
to his tent. Okay. And then you'd be sending messages all day. If you were there, we had three rooms. We had a front room where I worked. That's where people would hand me stuff to send, or I would be the ultimate recipient if stuff was coming in. Mm-hmm. We had a middle room where they sent mostly tapes to different places around the world. I would send them to them, and then they would route them to wherever they're going. And then there was a third room, which was a cryptography room. And that's if something had to be super encrypted, even though our stuff was already coded, they would do that and then bring it out to you, you know, 10 minutes later and say, here it is.
Sure.
You do that for 12 hours. And then basically, if you got your meals in, go back to your tent. Those tents were supposed to have 9 people in them. They were squad tents. They had a concrete floor. And they had a tent, and then another tent over it for an air gap to keep it from getting too hot. Well, we had 12 guys sleeping in each tent, and I only slept 9. So you have to walk on other people's beds to get to yours. And half of them were sleeping, and the other half were at work.
Yeah.
So the lights were always on, 24 hours a day in the tent, and a radio playing. They had their own little radio station over there, because you couldn't. Anything, you couldn't have a camera, and if you had a radio or anything like that, you had to buy it there.
Sure.
And so you never got any sleep. You're lying there with the lights on, guys playing cards. It was really fatiguing. Also, in the winter, it was 95 degrees every day and about 80 at night. In the summer, which is mostly after this operation ended, it was 115 every day. After the operation was over, then we had no work to do. We worked one out every 5 days only.
Sure.
Just sit around and swim and play basketball and baseball and stuff like that. So.
All right.
Yeah.
As far as going on leave,
You
I think that you had mentioned before that you went to Hawaii for leave.
Yeah. They had what they call R&R in the Army. That's rest and recuperation leave. It doesn't count as leave time. It's just to give you a break if you're doing something difficult.
Sure.
And we were, ours was Hawaii, although a couple of guys got to go to Guam, which was another 1,000 miles away. But this newspaper had made this offer, $150 for an interview, so they froze our R&R. And you're supposed to get R&R every 6 months. Well, I got there in November, and I didn't get R&R until August. They wanted the operation to be over so that the newspaper wasn't interested in it anymore.
Sure.
So they flew us over there, and we stayed there for a week for 75 cents a night.
Sure.
Right on Waikiki.
So the classified information was part of your daily routine then?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Yeah.
And just kind of going off of what you've been saying, the majority, or basically anything going in or out of the island, came through your department at some point.
Any kind of communication. Yeah,
sure.
Right. Yeah, or else some things might be by courier, of course, somebody actually coming over on a plane. Like, they weren't going to send any atomic designs or anything.
Oh, sure.
Over radio teletype. They would never do that. So that would have been a courier, probably with a scientist or something like that. See, we had this is called Joint Task Force 7 was the organization we were in. And I was in Joint Task Force 7.2. That was the Army. 7.3 would be something like the Air Force. 7.1 would be the Navy. And each had its own organization. And then the guy in charge of the whole Joint Task Force, which was on that thing, Graves, I think his name was, he's the coordinator for the whole thing.
Okay.
Ironically, I found a guy in Delafield 2 years ago, a cigar store on Highway 83. My brother said, you ought to meet this guy. I think he was where you were when you were there. So I went over and meet the guy. He was doing what I was doing at the same time, and he was on the USS Estes ship that I would communicate with.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, do you feel like you were definitely a part of history as far as being in the Korean War and being able to witness things like this, or do you just kind of feel that you serve your country? How do you feel about the whole situation?
Well, I'm proud of serving my country, and I have a philosophy that a lot of guys have. Anytime I meet a soldier on active duty, I shake his hand and thank him.
Sure.
And maybe even more so now, because they get a lot of disrespect, as they did during the Vietnam era. I think, in retrospect, I'm glad I didn't go to Korea when the war was on, because no one really wants to get killed. And I think, in some respects, what I was involved in was a lot more unique. And, I mean, I've only met two or three people in almost 60 years that were over there, unless they're ones I knew.
Sure.
This guy in Delafield, and I was down in Destin, Florida a few years ago, and a guy at the next table was talking to his wife, and he says, and we talk. And my wife jabbed me. And I got up and I walked over there, and I said, were you there? He said, yeah. And I said, what year? Well, he's there in 56. He wasn't there when I was. But you don't, there were, at its peak, there were only 1,000 Army, 1,000 Air Force, and some Navy guys, and a few Coast Guard guys. That was it. And as soon as the operation was over, everybody left except a skeleton crew like me.
You know? Sure, yeah.